would turn to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Or I'm sorry, Galatians chapter number 5. Pardon me. Galatians chapter number 5. And I am reading this afternoon out of the ESV. I'm not sure what this congregation uses regularly, but that is the translation I'm reading out of. Galatians chapter number 5, and we're going to read verses 16 through to the end of the chapter. This is God's holy word. Let us pay attention to it today. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. That is the word of the living God. Praise be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for this His holy word. Now, our shorter catechism says that Scripture is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy God. And in Galatians chapter 5, we come to terms with what the Bible says is the way of Christian character or Christian virtue. And it all begins with the holy gospel of Jesus. You see, a certain group in the Galatian church thought that non-Jews must keep the Old Testament law, and that if they kept the Old Testament law and connected Jesus to that, that guaranteed that they would become genuine children of God. So it wasn't Jesus Christ alone. No, no. For these people in the Galatian church, they said for non-Jews, they had to believe in Jesus plus keep the law. If they believed in Jesus plus were circumcised, plus kept the Saturday Sabbath, plus kept the law of the Old Testament, those Jewish laws, then they would be the people of God. Well, this focus on the law as a way of salvation did not bring salvation, because legalism never brings salvation, nor did it bring godly Christian character to the church. It actually did the opposite. And we might think that. People often do think that. They think that if you have Jesus plus the law, then as a way of salvation, then people would become more godly. If you have a legalism where you have a church filled with the rules from the Bible and focus on those rules from the Bible, well, then godliness will grow. But no, it's always the opposite. You see, because they were legalists, because they didn't focus on Christ alone and faith alone, but Christ plus law-keeping, it brought fighting and envy to the church. Because notice in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. That's what they were doing in this legalistic church. They were biting and devouring one another. If your congregation becomes legalistic, if your focus is not Jesus Christ and His grace, and how in that grace we come to live a life of obedience, then you will begin to bite and devour one another. And notice verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, if you as a congregation become a legalistic church, that is where you believe in Jesus, plus you have to have laws in order to be saved, there's Christ plus good works in order to have salvation, well then you're going to have pride because some people will be more self-disciplined than others, some people will have more righteousness than others, and you'll be provoking one another, envying one another. Well, Paul confronts this error of legalism step by step. And as he does so, he brings to the church the way of godly Christian character. Step number one, Paul, in this letter to the Galatians, asks the question and answers the question, what makes a sinner a Christian? And the answer to that is, it's not law. It's not God's law, though God's law is good. The law of God does not make sinners Christians. It is God's grace in Jesus Christ that makes sinners Christians. And Paul explains this in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4 of this book of Galatians. Then Paul had a second step. What brings Christian character to the believer then? What brings Christian character to the believer? Well, he answers that in chapter number 5. And again, his answer is, it's not the law. It's not a legalism, but it's the grace of the Holy Spirit. What makes a person godly and holy, what develops Christian character in a sinner's life is the Holy Spirit. When God saves a person, he gives that person the Holy Spirit, as we've been learning this weekend. And then in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are strengthened to have Christian character when we begin walking in the way of God's Word. So what brings Christian character to the believer? It's not the law, but it is God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will use God's Word. He'll use the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are part of the Christian life, but the Ten Commandments are not the fuel. They're not the power to bring godliness to us. It's God, the person of the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the first step that Paul has here is that he answers the question, what makes a Christian? And it's grace. The second step is that he answers the question, what brings Christian character to the believer? It's also grace, the grace of the Holy Spirit. And then he comes to step number 3, what does Christian character look like? And that is answered for us here in our text, and that's going to be the subject of our sermon this afternoon. Christian character, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit, includes the fruit of the Spirit. Number 2, Christian character, empowered by the Holy Spirit, testifies to God's work of salvation in your life. And then number 3, Christian character, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is very public. Let's begin with this point, that Christian character includes the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. First of all, love. Love is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's no wonder that this character trait prizes first place in this list. Paul lived long in the Old Testament, and he knew this word, love, captured the essence of the character of Almighty God. The Father is love. He sent His Son. Jesus, who is God, is love. He loved us and gave Himself for us. The Holy Spirit is love, and He gives believers His love when He comes into the believers' hearts. Because it says in Romans 5 that the love of God is spread abroad upon our heart by the Holy Spirit. Well, the life we now live as believers then is a life of love. This love stands in stark contrast to the self-centeredness of the flesh. We are born again. We are new creations. We are in union with Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. So now, being close to God, being partakers of God's divine nature, love is one of the things that begins to work in our lives, and we become less and less selfish. We become less and less in love with ourselves. And isn't this the huge hump in your life? The problem of our lives often is, man, am I ever selfish? Am I ever in love with myself? Well, the fruit of the Spirit brings that to an end. It is others, the fruit of the Spirit of love is others-oriented. It is self-sacrificial. It spells the end of hostility. It spells the end of strife, the end of factions and envies with God and man. When we yield to the Holy Spirit in this fruit, then we learn to become loving. We learn to become unified. We learn to be content rather than envious and jealous. So Christian character includes love. Christian character also includes joy. Do you know what this is? It is cheerful behavior before God and mankind. Again, the Old Testament has the theme of joying in the living God and rejoicing before people. We find that all through the book of Psalms and all through the Old Testament. The joy, this joy, is finding pleasure and delight in God and responding with gladness to Him. But it is also rejoicing in mankind. Now, is there anything to rejoice about in man? We would say there is nothing to be happy about in mankind. They're depraved sinners. Well, I want to say to you this afternoon that if you are cynical about people, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. I know that mankind, and you know that mankind, is filled with sin. We know that our country is in terrible straits. It's apostate. It has rejected God. It is very wicked, and it is evil. And we can be tempted to look at people around us and give it all up and just live in our own little four-cornered house and build a wall around us and then criticize everyone and be cynical towards the millennials and be cynical towards people who play rap music and be cynical to this and be cynical to that. This is not Christian character. Because God in our world does not look at our world that way. Yes, mankind is sinful, but it is clear that the Father rejoiced in sending His Son for sinners because saving man brings joy to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus, He rejoiced to see His seed for whom He suffered. And He enjoyed healing the blind and healing the lame and working with people. And the Spirit of God has joy, rejoices and has joy when sinners receive the Word of God and when we yield to the Holy Spirit. And angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner who repents. So let's rejoice. There is hope for mankind. There is hope for the city of Halifax. When we have God's hope for our neighbor, we actually bring virtue to the world. We actually bring God into the world and godliness into the world when we have hope for the sinners around us. If you stay in your cynicism, you're not going to witness to people. If you stay in your cynicism, you're not going to serve others and love others as yourself. Oh no, we know that Christian character includes the fruit of the Spirit of joy. Joy in God, but joy in people too. Not joy in their sin, but joy in souls. And we seek to help them. Well, Christian character also includes peace. God is the God who dwells in perfect peace, perfect well-being, and who gives this peace to His people in their life together with God and in their life together with other human beings. God brought us to peace with Himself through the cross. Jesus is the God of peace. And do you remember what He did to give the church well-being? He shed His own blood. He, the God of peace, destroyed the power of Satan as well. He, the God of peace, destroyed sin's condemnation in our lives and brought us reconciliation. But He also reconciled us to God by paying the penalty for our sin and satisfying the very wrath of God. But then there is this too. Having well-being with God causes us to look at our neighbor differently. We long to give them well-being as Christians. Spirit-controlled Christians don't want to bring war into other human people's lives. They want to spread love and peace and blessing. Then there's patience. Christian character includes patience. When we think of patience, we think of having to learn to wait in line without blowing our top. This is not what Scripture has in mind here. The word here means long-suffering, forbearing, being forgiving toward those who oppose or distress you in some way. It's having long love, as the Puritans used to put it. Having long love, rather than bursting out in rage or provoking others with cruelty, a Christian responds with kindness and forgiveness to those who need long love and who need to be loved a very long time. Isn't that true? I need to have long love from you. I need to be loved by you for a very long time because I trip up and I mess up and I'm still struggling with sin in my own life. I am not what I ought to be. One day I will be like Christ in perfection in heaven, but not yet. So I, as a pastor, need to be loved by people for a very long time, not just a short time when they see all my nice looks and don't see my spots, but when they begin to see my spots and my idiosyncrasies and my inconsistencies, I still need you to love me. And that's how you need to love one another, for a long time. Patience. Patience. Our triune God is long-suffering. We need long love, and He loves us eternally. Well, then there's kindness and goodness. That's part of the Christian character as well. To describe this fruit of the Holy Spirit, let me ask you a simple question. Did God find a way to deliver us from evil and sin and guilt? What is your answer? Did God find a way to deliver us from evil and sin and guilt? Some of you are saying, yes, He did, didn't He? He did. He was long-suffering and loving, but He was also kind and did good things for us even when we were against Him. Read the Old Testament, read the New Testament. He was so kind and loving, doing things for us even when we were against Him. God, as it were, took a towel and washed our feet. He was a loving Father who took us back. He went out to find His lost sheep. And now in heaven, God serves us through the mediator, Jesus Christ. God has us around His throne in His great kindness and goodness. We are around His throne in prayer in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's adopted us into His family and all of His compassion and His kindness. And He always comes after us when we stray, when we go away, when we become lethargic or when we become disobedient. Oh, He sends the Holy Spirit and His Word to us to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment so that we would come back to Him. He is so kind and He is so good. And in that goodness and in that kindness, He gave us the gospel plan and He gave us the church and He gave us His Word and He gave us the sacraments and He is continually working with us. Well, okay, let me ask you another question. Have you found a way to help people? Have you found a way to help people? Being kind and good always finds a way. But being cynical and cruel and proud never finds a way to help others. Christian character also includes faithfulness. Perhaps you remember the first commandment. Well, the Spirit leads us to live it. We have no other God and no other God will do. The Spirit leads us to loyally live for God over the long haul. That's why I prayed for us that we would persevere to the end. We believe His Word over the long haul. I mean, right to the day we close our eyes in death. We treat people the way He leads us to treat them. Over the long haul. God has never called us to love people only for a little while. But He calls us in the New Testament to bear with one another's burdens long over the complete haul. No matter what you go through, no matter what sin you have to deal with, no matter what upset or trial comes into your life, each and every one of us in this room who are Christians, who are God's people, we should love one another. Rather than criticize or gossip or cut ourselves off, we ought to humble ourselves before one another and love each other right to the very end. So we need to be faithful. But another Christian character is gentleness. Now, boys and girls, children, do you remember at family worship when your father teaches you this or your mother teaches you this? Do you remember the night that Jesus was betrayed? He was gentle to the soldier who had his ear sliced off by Peter. That is, Jesus humbled Himself before all the soldiers, and this soldier particularly, and was so considerate of him that He healed his ear. Jesus was meek. He didn't make it difficult for the soldiers to arrest Him. He considered others more needful than Himself, and He looked after others before His own needs. At the cross, we see the gentle Jesus again. Do you remember what He did, boys and girls? He looked down from the cross in the midst of all of His pain and in the midst of all of that hardship, and He looked at His mother. And then He said to the apostle, man, behold your mother. Behold this woman. And He cared for His dear mother. Have you ever met a person who is always thinking about the welfare of other people? They're so gentle. They're not given to fits of rage or orgies or selfish binges or divisions. They're just so gentle. And you trust them. You trust them. You go to them to talk to them. And so this is Christian character, that the Holy Spirit works in us because we're saved. Another Christian character is self-control. Self-control. Have you ever rolled a heavy wagon or rock or snowball up a hill? And then have you ever lost control? Watch out. You know that it's dangerous. So you try to get out of the way because it's too heavy. You can't stop it. And if you get underneath it, you'll be crushed. Well, all the vices mentioned in verses 19 through 22, the works of the flesh, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, they are out of control human lusts. Watch out. They are dangerous. They destroy people's lives. And praise God, the reason He has not destroyed our lives is because God is never out of control. Well, by the gospel, the Spirit gives us this blessing from God, that we don't have to be out of control, giving ourselves over to these orgies and drunkenness and dissensions and all these kinds of dangerous activities. By the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit frees us not to be controlled by anything. And the Spirit frees us to abstain from anything for the sake of others. And the Holy Spirit gives us the enablement and frees us to stop taking aim at people even if they hurt us. God's Spirit leads us to stop our mouths with gossip, to stop violence, to end our criticism. He leads us to give, help, and be there for people. And in all of this, there's self-discipline. He helps us to stop our out-of-control behavior, so that we can be controlled and serve. And this is how the Spirit seeks to line us up in our walk with God. Being controlled, God in His great power is never out of control, but in His controlled wisdom, He gave us the gospel. and He loves us. Well, these are the fruits of the Spirit. And truly, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to line up with Him in these ways, in these fruits of the Holy Spirit. This brings a battle against the flesh, of course, and it brings us to the spiritual practice of putting off the old man and putting on the new man. But praise God, where there is the Spirit of God in you, these character traits appear and will continually grow and develop and mature in you as a child of God. What God has begun in you, He will finish and accomplish it until the day of redemption. And God has begun a work in you by His Holy Spirit to give you the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So praise God, where there is the Spirit, these character traits come with all their rich contribution to the church, with all their rich contribution to the world, and with all this rich contribution to the glory and praise and honor of God. Yes, Christian character is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But now we come to the second point, that Christian character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, testifies of God's work of forgiveness and salvation in your life. And this is where the Word begins to probe in your life. Are you a Christian? If you are a Christian saved by God's grace, you will begin to live the character of a Christian. And you will grow in that. It is not sinless perfection, but there is growth that will occur. Except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are good works that come to us. So, let me probe. First of all, I want us to understand that verse 19 through 22, remember where it talks about the works of the flesh? We've read them already: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Well, these verses give us the fruit, not of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the flesh. The fruit of the ungodly one, the fruit of the works of the flesh, the fruit of an unsaved person, because those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh here in this text does not mean body, as if our bodies were the root of our sin, though our bodies, as we learned this morning, are the tool of sin, but the root of our sin is in our heart. Flesh is, as John Piper wrote, the proud and unsubmissive root of evil in every human heart, which exalts itself subtly through proud, self-reliant morality, or which flaunts itself blatantly through self-assertive, authority-despising immorality. That's the fruit or works of the flesh. But in contrast to that, in verses 19 and 20, we have the fruit of the Spirit that we've just explained. Here is the second fruit, and what a contrast. In this contrast lies Paul's whole vision of what happens to someone when God the Father brings them to belong to Jesus Christ through faith by the Holy Spirit. You see, the fruit of the Spirit testifies to the gospel in the life. Why does the fruit of the Holy Spirit testify that the gospel is in your life? Now, we don't keep the fruit of the Spirit in order to be saved, but because we are Christians, because we are saved, the fruit of the Spirit is going to grow in our lives. Why? Why is the fruit of the Spirit an evidence of the gospel in our hearts? Well, number one, because the fruit is of the Holy Spirit. It's from the Holy Spirit. Now, a good tree brings forth good fruit. A bad tree brings forth evil fruit. God the Holy Spirit is a good tree. If you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you are a Christian. and the Holy Spirit never brings forth bad fruit. In the gospel, that tree of the Holy Spirit is planted in the hearts of the believers. It's all of grace. As John Owen put it, all the fruit are wrought and brought forth in us by the Spirit. They are His fruits. Every act of faith is faith from the Spirit. Every act of love is love from the Spirit. He works them in us. We walk them as He causes us to walk them. We live by Him who leads us in the dance of holiness. Notice in verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And so it's all of grace. It's all of grace. The second reason why we also know that the fruit of the Holy Spirit testifies to us that we are Christians is this, that the fruit comes because God's people belong to Christ and have crucified the flesh. Verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Christians are ones who mortify the flesh and who have the Spirit in their lives. And so if we have the Spirit in our lives and mortify sin, what's going to take its place? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The verse says, the basis for doing right and not wrong is the root of wrong has died. The root of wrong has died. We've got a new tree where I've got a new heart. The root of wrong has died. Yes, we started out in the flesh, in our human sinful condition, not able to do right. And yes, we as believers, we still struggle with our remaining corruption, our remaining sin in our flesh. And so there is a battle going on between the Spirit leading us and our flesh resisting it. Our sin at times even keeps us from doing what we want to do for God, as the text says. But nevertheless, through the gospel, God's Spirit goes to work in our lives and people are renewed. People who bear the fruit of the Spirit know they deserve only condemnation and that their only hope of salvation is God's mercy. However, they have turned away from their ego and look only to mercy in Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. Out of faith in God's forgiveness, depending on grace, the Christian grows in fruit. He grows in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and self-control. And so what does Christian character look like? Like a life changed by God Almighty. Like a life changed by God Almighty. But wait, Pastor, don't pagans try to live these virtues of faithfulness and love and patience? What about Gandhi? What about Doctors Without Borders? Aristotle, he has a number of works on ethics. Plato, he has a number of works on ethics that really exalt patience and exalt self-discipline and so on. What about Cato? Cato, he was known for his self-control. Well, let's imagine that all of us here in this room today, let's imagine that we are unbelievers in a neighborhood here in Dartmouth, or maybe in a neighborhood in Halifax, whatever you prefer. But let's say we're in a neighborhood and we're unbelievers, and we see someone with a U-Haul coming into our neighborhood, and our children come and look, and they hope that maybe they have kids, someone to play with, and sure enough, they've got kids. And you're looking forward, and some they begin to unload their U-Haul, and kids, you see they unload this beautiful bike, and you wish you had that bike. But anyway, so you see these people moving in, and what you find out is they're Christians. This is a Christian family that moved into your neighborhood. Well, you go out to meet them, and you get to know them, and by we talk to our Christian neighbor about our political candidate one afternoon. We both like him. He is honest. He wants to uphold justice. He cares about our city hospital. He doesn't want abuse in our city. But he is a Muslim. And we tell Christian, see, you don't have to be a Christian in order to do good. The Muslim is doing good. But Christian responds, and in our heart, it rings true with this response. First, all things good and right are God's gifts to the world, even though men use those things while they live in unbelief against the true God. He gave glory to God for the good Muslim, he gave glory to God, our Christian neighbor gave glory to God for the good that this Muslim did. And then he said, secondly to us, as unbelievers, this Muslim is not born again. The good he does, though a gift of God's common grace, does not come from a heart changed by the Holy Spirit. He does not do them out of faith and love for the true God. He does them for many reasons, but not for God. But then we say to our Christian neighbor, will not God reward him? And then Christian says to us, no, he did not do them in faith by the Spirit to the glory of the true God. And then we say to our Christian neighbor, you mean I don't do good? I don't believe in God. You mean I don't do good? He told us, no, not in and of yourself. God might do good through you, and you still have the image of God in you, so you know what is right and wrong. But unless God saves you, you will twist these good things and misuse them. You will become proud. You might use your goodness as a lever to get what you want. Often you will really love another person, but not for God and for His name's sake. You will not do these virtues by faith for God, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And then he says to us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit will work His fruit of holiness in your life. You are a bad tree without Jesus. You see, amending or reforming our life is not Christian character. It is a pagan effort. And many in our neighborhoods are doing this. Christian character testifies to the salvation of God in our lives. Only God can change you where you live the fruit of the Holy Spirit in faith to God for His glory, for His praise, and out of love for others, again, for God's glory and Christ's name's sake. And I don't want you to think that okay, I can try to be these things and that will make me a Christian. No, that's legalism. No, we are Christian. And then we begin to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, again, the question, are you a believer? Are you cynical? Are you impatient? Is it hard for you to love by faith? Are you out of control? Are you not persevering and faithful to the Word of God in your heart and in your mind? And if you are not a Christian, come today and the Lord Jesus Christ will save your soul. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. If we but turn to Christ, He will in no wise cast us out. Salvation is not a feeling. It is not a sentiment. It is faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for you and rose again for your salvation. And maybe you are a Christian, but you have just grieved the Holy Spirit by a habit in your life that you've just let go. Well, you need to repent then. And then God will help you to grow in Christian character. Well, then I just want to make one more application, and the third point before I close is that Christian character enabled by the Holy Spirit is public. And I want to help you as a church with this, and you as a Christian. Perhaps you have gone apple picking at a pick-your-own-apple orchard. Our family went 2 years ago. We were in the middle of the orchard, surrounded by the fruit. We smelled it, we saw it, we touched it, and we tasted the fruit. The fruit was out in the open, and we were thankful that fruit does not hide. Well, my memory went back to our apple-picking excursion while thinking about this text on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This fruit of the Spirit amounts to Christian character, and like the apples, the fruit of the Spirit is meant to be out in the open for the whole world to see. As Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, we're to let our light shine so that all may see and glorify God who is in heaven. In other words, the Christian character the believer is called to affects the public. It affects the university, young people. It affects your high school. It affects your neighborhood. It brings the fragrance, the visibility, the taste of the holiness and goodness of God to the real people that you rub shoulders with who are not yet Christians. We must not think of these virtues as the church's self-help guide and we just keep it for ourselves. Many books on this subject of the fruit of the Holy Spirit never mention how the Spirit's fruit bring God's wisdom and glory and peace and justice before human beings, through us. Instead of the fruit of the Spirit is for self-improvement, these books say, emotional healing, or a plan for survival when you go through tough times, or maybe to help you with your marriage a little bit. Those things are good. But that's not the end. It is for us to live before the world in godliness, to live before one another in godliness. Christian character here is described in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, and this fruit he brings forth in believers, it comes out in the open. In other words, he works these virtues in us for the glory of God and the good of the world. Jesus taught us, go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel and baptize into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Jesus also said, go into all the world and live Christ before the world. And then God's glory will be furthered and honored and pleased and praised. And so Christian character is empowered by the Holy Spirit, is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as our text explains it. Christian character empowered by the Holy Spirit is a testimony in your life that you are a believer, that you are in union with Jesus Christ. And Christian character empowered by the Holy Spirit is public. It grows, and then the church grows, and then the glory of God is spread in this world. And it's the Holy Spirit who will help us, because it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. And we are in the Spirit, so let us yield to the Holy Spirit and keep in step with Him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your kindness and goodness towards us in giving us this message from Your holy Word. We thank You that we have clear direction. We thank You that this direction is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even every thought and intent of the heart, probing us, convicting us, showing us the glory of the gospel in Jesus Christ and how we can live in that gospel now. We are so glad that all of heaven will be filled with people who keep the fruit of the Holy Spirit in perfection by the strength of the Holy Spirit. But that future reality is reaching backwards into this present time. We are now also in the Holy Spirit. We are now also enabled to keep the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We are now today in this eschatological age in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not yet in its full consummation, but it is already living itself out now. We pray that we would live who we are. We pray that we would yield ourselves to You, great God, Holy Spirit. We pray that we would repent, really, truly repent, where we have given ourselves over to a habit that is just not holy, or a thinking pattern that is just not right. God, grant us repentance so that we might have a full purpose of an endeavor after new obedience, that we might live unto Your glory. Father, our delight as human beings is Your glory. Our joy is Your person. And then, Lord, Father, as You know, we find personal fulfillment. We find personal peace. We just are so happy to be human beings again when we focus on you and when we focus on others and when we let go of our selfishness. Please help us to see this, that Christ will truly set us free from all that is backward and selfish and narcissistic. That we might, God, live as a worshipful beings we were made to be. And as beings, as human beings who love others and are tender and gentle toward them for your glory. And oh God, how our world needs that which is filled with so much violence and so much abuse of women and so much abuse, dear God in heaven, of children and so much cynicism. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be different and that in the corner of the world where you have placed us, that we would be lights for your glory and make your work of grace in our lives public so that we might share the gospel and your glory with others as well. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, people of the Lord, receive the benediction and know that God loves you in the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and empowerment of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.